the Lord again, church. You can be seated tonight. Here we are, closing out our last Sunday night of 2018. I've been doing, as I said earlier, a lot of reflecting over this past year. And we've had a lot of shifts, a lot of changes. And I'm just excited as to where we are and where God is taking us. And I'm excited for what God is doing in so many of our lives. But we started out, this has been now, it seems like a very long time ago, on a Wednesday evening, back in November, we started out with Why We Do What We Do, a series. And I'm going to kind of wrap things up tonight, and then we're going to kind of kick off into next year as well. And then next Sunday morning, next Sunday night, we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue on in this theme, and then we'll follow our fasting theme for the month of January. So we started off this series with the subject of purpose, okay, that everything has a purpose. Every individual has a purpose. And we're going to talk about this as well as we get into the new year. And because everything has a time, everything has a place, and everything has a purpose. And you may look at your life right now, you may look at where you are, and you may be struggling to try to figure out, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? You may ask the question, Pastor, you're asking us to surrender our wills to you, but I don't really even know what my purpose is in this life. And I can't help you find your purpose. I can't help you surrender your will. That's something that we must do as an individual. We have to do that individually. I can't live your life for you, and you can't live my life for me. So we have to understand that everything has a time and a place and a purpose. Just as man creates things with a purpose, and man gives instructions on how to use whatever that is. If you buy a new tool, you buy it for a purpose. And it gives instructions on how to use it and how to improperly use it. And but God, too, when he creates something, he gives instructions on how to use it. That's why it's so very important that we couple our life, not just with purpose, but with the Word of God. It's very, very important that we live our lives according to what the Word of God says. And that takes and that helps us as we go through life to make right decisions, to make sound decisions, make godly decisions. So God gives all things purpose. And as we move ahead into 2019, we're going to move into a fresh time of awakening. Brother Booker, our district superintendent, has chosen a theme for this year, 2019, to be awakened. And we're going to join him in that. We're going to make a few little variations, not exactly as the district has put it out there, but we're going to make a few variations that will help us get through the entire year with awakening. So as in every year in the last 4 years, we've entered into a season of fasting. Now, I believe that fasting is very, very important. And this year, we have some area churches that have asked to join with us as a show of unity, because I believe also that as we enter into this next season of this church, of this body, that there are a number of other bodies, if I could say we're all part of the body of Christ, but a number of other churches and their church body wishes to join with this church body as an overall force or show of unity as we go through this 21 days of fast. So we're going to start off in 2019 unified as a church body, because we understand that without unity, we're not going to go anywhere. It takes unity in order for God to move in a church service. It takes unity for God to move through us as individuals. Now we're going to talk about some of the things that destroy unity. And we look into the Old Testament, we can find a number of examples, as well as in the New Testament, of what destroys unity. But we'll talk about that as we go through our fast, because it seems like, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, when I fast, and when we fast, hopefully, that God begins to reveal things to you that are in your heart that ought not be there. And then it's a good thing that if we all have things that ought not be there, that we get those out And then as we get those things out of us, God is able to take and pour into us. Thus, we become more unified and stronger. I believe in order for us to continue as God has called us, we've got to start this year off with a spirit of contrition. Contrition, sometimes you may wonder what contrition really is, but contrition is really repentance. It's sorrowful. And when you look into history and you look into revivals that have taken place all across the world in past history, that they have always started off with a heavy move of repentance. And I just really feel that God is going to treat us no different. We're not going to be any different than any other society. You can go through the Great Awakening into modern era, and repentance always leads to a great awakening, to an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So we search ourselves internally. God reveals things to us. We are awakened to that, and then God begins to pour out His Spirit upon the body. He begins to pour out His Spirit, and as it pours out upon the body, upon the churches, you know, the whole problem with our world today and the whole problem with our backslidden state of a country that we live in is just because we have too much pride that we won't repent when we've done wrong. And so the Great Awakening, preceded by heavy move of repentance, followed by great spirit of worship, and both of those will move the heart or move the nation closer to God. So this year, our fast is going to follow as such. We gave out some of these. How many of you got one of these Awaken? Everybody have one of these? Okay. So we're going to start out our fasting this year, and I know there's been a number of questions I've had. Week one is going to be our media fast, and what I'm talking about media fast is just shutting out all of your social media. I'm not telling you can never answer your phone or anything like that. I'm just talking about social media, those things that distract us so much from our relationship with God. And we can become so distracted. So I'm just asking people, you know what, turn all of that stuff off. Facebook's not going to go bankrupt if we cut off and we don't use their services for a week, okay? So get rid of all of that stuff. And I want you to spend extra time in prayer every day as you work your way through the week. And Friday night each week, we're going to take and we're going to have prayer time here at church. So we're going to start on Sunday. It'll be next Sunday night at midnight, okay? So it's when you say next Sunday, it's actually next Monday morning at 12:01, okay? But next Sunday night at midnight is when our fast starts. That will be week one, media fast, and we'll have Friday prayer meeting. And then we're going to take and we're going to move on to week two, which is the Daniel's fast. I'm just saying the traditional Daniel's fast. You work out what works best for your family. And you can swap recipes with whoever and however you want to do that. But the traditional Daniel's fast, and then we're going to close out that Friday evening with a prayer meeting here at church. What I'm feeling that God is going to do in the Spirit as we go through our weeks and we begin to unload our burdens and things that we carry, that as we come here to pray and as a church collectively, that God is going to meet us here. And God is going to continue to lift us. We talk about this new dimension of living and new dimension that God desires us to be in. And it doesn't come without a price. It doesn't come without a price. And so we have to understand that. And then week three, we're going to go into what's called our more traditional fast, where we used to do a lot of this. It was just straight fasting. I mean, you got water, and that was about it for a week. And you would fast every meal, three meals every day, so you'd be fasting all week. Now, some of you, I understand you have medical conditions and you have things that you cannot fast all week. If you're on a restricted diet and you're not supposed to fast, just don't fast, okay? Just do the Daniel's fast and be good with that, okay? There'll be enough other people that'll be fasting for longer durations and such, that what I'm looking for is that we all participate. I'm not really so worried about which fast you're participating in, that we all participate and we all complete the objective that we started with. I'd rather all 350 to 400 of us here tonight, whatever, start off with a fast and finish with a fast than start off with just expectations that you can't meet or are unable to meet, and then we fail after 4 or 5 days and just give up. Okay, so if you give up, if you blow it, if you drive by and you can't pass that McDonald's drive-through, you know what? If you go through the drive-through and you splurge on a burger, then you know what? Just start over the next day. Okay, don't call it quits. All right, we want to continue this. So moving on into our scripture for tonight, our passage of scripture is Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountains where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of reviewing here tonight, because this is stretched out a little bit. We've talked about why we do what we do, the fourfold purpose of the church. Now, I strongly believe, and I know many of you strongly believe, that the purpose of the church is really a fourfold purpose. We began our series with purpose, and we covered our Calvary Gospel Church vision statement. Out there in the vestibule, you'll read our vision statement. You can see that. We also have our purpose statement. Calvary Gospel Church exists to reach up in worship, reach in discipleship, reach out in evangelism. We have our mission statement, which is equipping every member for a personal mission in the world. We can have the purpose statement. We can have a vision statement. We can have a most elaborate, most eloquent vision statement. We can have awesome purpose statement. But if we don't actually do anything, nothing is going to happen. And I think going into 2019, what God is seeking to do and what God is attempting to do is to awaken up his body. He's looking to wake up his church, because he says, listen, I know how much time is left, and you don't know how much time is left, but you're running out of time. So we got to get with it. We got to move forward. So equipping every member for a personal mission in our world. We talked about worship. We read in the Old Testament a passage from 1 Chronicles 16:29, and I'm so thankful for powerful worship here at Calvary Gospel Church. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. His name deserves our glory. His name deserves our honor and our praise. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 96:9 says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him and all the earth. God demands our worship. God demands our worship. And we have to remember that our worship to him transcends anything that we can do for him. I hope you had that written down already. Our worship to him transcends anything else we can do for him. God would rather have our worship than have us work in a Sunday school class. God would rather have us worship him than anything else that we could do in our mission. But worship isn't the only thing. There's a number of things. He wants us to read his word. So we have worship. Then we went in to the word, how important it was that we invest our lives in the word of God. Reading from John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You and I were made by God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we have the word. We have the word of God, and God's power is revealed and experienced in his word. It's good to see Brother Lenny Smith here, too. I missed you earlier, brother. God bless you. Great to have them here. Only knowledge based on God's word is going to produce a genuine experience of God's and his power. You'll never experience God and his power until you acknowledge and understand his word and how it works in your life. So don't get caught up in reading all of these secular books on deliverance. You go right to the book. You go right here. How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus do? What do I have to get in order to have that happen in my life? And we go right straight to the source. If you want to know about the grace of God, I'm not going to go to Max Licato. I'm not going to go to any of these other guys. I'm going to go right to the source. I'm going to go to the Word of God. Too many times we read a book about some spiritual topic as if that person was the authority on that topic. And then we go to the Word of God and we're trying to find out if God's Word lines up to what we read in some book somewhere. Listen, it's God's Word is the judge. God's Word is the jury. God's Word is what everything in heaven is settled on. Without this Word, we have nothing. We have nothing. The power of God is revealed and it's experienced in His Word. Now, when we get into our text tonight, and we're going to shift gears a little bit here, we read Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus went on, and he began to give to his disciples what I call his last will and testament. And he ends up, and he began to speak with them. The first thing he says is that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore into all nations. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he leaves this last part kind of like a little P.S. P.S., wherever you go, I'm going to be there with you. Whatever obstacle you run into, Brother Simmons, I'm going to be there with you. Whatever demonic presence you deal with, I'm going to be there with you, because lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, when we look at the core values of the church, we must be a church that loves God, we must be a church that trusts God, and we have to be a church that loves people. See, you can have a beautiful church, you can have beautiful music, but if people come in and you don't make them feel welcome and you treat them poorly as a guest, how do you like when you go to a restaurant and you get bad service? We don't want people to ever come to Calvary Gospel Church and get bad service. It's got to be part of our core value. It connects the dots between our core values and the Great Commission that we just finished reading. That is the love that we have one for another. You see, it goes hand in hand with one another. If you truly love God, then how can we disregard the command to go and preach and make disciples? But so many times we say, oh, I love God. I love God. I'll do anything for God. But then when it boils down to it, we don't do what he asks us to do. So if we trust God, why wouldn't we trust him to empower us with the Spirit? So if God gave us the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the way, the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost wasn't just for salvation alone. He gave us that power so that we could take that power and that authority, and we could take it wherever we went in the world, and we would be able to make a difference where we went. But see, it's not our power and it's not our authority, but he uses it through us. It's his power, it's his authority, but we're the conduit in which it flows. So if we trust God, then why wouldn't we trust him when he says, I want you to go pray for that person or lay hands on that sick person because I want to heal them? Why wouldn't we trust God to do that? But so many times we don't. So think of this, church. When he said that signs following, this has puzzled me for a while, not that I didn't understand it, but when he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And then it goes through a whole number of signs, but something else I think we take so far for granted, and that is, think of this, church. I don't know about you, but if I was walking into a room that there were 50 people in that room, and I began to lead those people in a prayer of repentance, and in a few minutes they begin to speak in tongues one after another, as it begins to spread throughout that room, that's as much as signs following as any of the great miracles that we like to think that God's going to use us in, or we expect God to use us in. You see, we come down to the altar sometime and we pray a sinner through, or we assist in praying a sinner through to the Holy Ghost, and we walk away and we're almost unhappy because somebody that had a broken leg, you prayed for them and God didn't instantly heal their leg. Anybody ever do that? But we dismiss the life that was just radically changed. This is going to be a little out there, and I don't want anybody to think that I've gone real radical here. I understand that when Jesus Christ came into this world, he had stripes put on his back for my healing. But listen, I would much rather have salvation than I would have healing. So we can never dismiss the fact that God desires to do great things with his power and using us as his conduit. So signs following them that believe. Now, we've just come through the Christmas season. And did anyone here, this is just a quick question, anyone here share the whole Christmas story with anyone outside of the church in witnessing to anyone? Anybody share the Christmas story? I went over to the hobby store where I like to frequent every year. I take them homemade peanut brittle that my wife and I make. And so I go over there actually, and I begin to talk with the gentleman that runs the store. And right away, I could tell when I walked into the store there, I hadn't been there in a few months, and he comes out from around the counter and he puts his hand out and shakes my hand and goes to give me a reluctant man hug. So those of you guys know what I'm talking about there. It's kind of that I'm not so comfortable. I'm not sure if you're comfortable with me doing this, but it's really good to see you. And I had a little goodie box for him, and I gave it to him, and he was so appreciative. And I asked him how he's been doing, and he just started to just into this real negative vein about all the things that have been going on and going wrong in his life. And he just kept talking and kept talking, and I mean, for a good hour, he was just talking about how downtrodden and how rough things had been lately. And I said, you know, man, I said, is there anything that I can do? He said, well, he said, you know, he said, I was just thinking. He says, doesn't the Bible talk about things like this happening? He had talked all about the world conditions and the weather and everything. And you couldn't have had a better opportunity to witness handed to you on a silver platter. And I just began to talk with him. I just felt such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. And we didn't get to finish our conversation. He had customers coming in and all this and that. But I'm really believing that, and I know that I'll be going back there and we'll be able to finish up those conversations. And I believe that God can use me to reach him, because he needs salvation. He's in a bad way. He's hurting. And this world is full of those people. And so we have to establish as a church that our core values are always tied to the Great Commission. I want us to look a little bit deeper into this fourfold function of the church and how this all ties together. The church exists as an entity for evangelizing the whole world. Did you know that? Sometimes we think it exists just for us to come and have a place to collectively worship. But we should be worshiping God outside of these four walls. And we should be evangelizing outside of these four walls. This involves personal evangelism, as well as the call. If God calls you in your prayer and your fasting, if God calls you to go to the mission field, I'm not going to stand up here and say, no, I don't think that's a good idea for you to go. If God calls you, God calls you. It's not my position, nor will it ever be my position to take and judge what God calls you to do. What my position is to qualify you to make sure when you're ready to answer that call, that you're ready to go and do what God has called you to do. The church exists as a place where believers can come together to worship God together. The church exists to provide believers the opportunity to grow in their faith through teaching, mentoring, discipling, preaching, and the administrative gifts of the Spirit. We're going to get into that at a bit later as we get into the new year. The church exists in order to help provide for the needs of others by displaying the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church exists to fulfill His great commission. That's why we're here. Reading from Matthew 16, 13 through 20, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea of Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say you're John the Baptist, others say it's Elijah, and still others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say that I am?" So He wasn't asking, His disciples were telling Jesus who everybody else was saying He was, but He's asking them point blank question, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter voices his opinion, being one of the more or most vocal of the disciples. He says, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by any man, but it was revealed to you by my Father, which is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, and He goes on to say, "And I tell you, I will give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever shall be bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then He warned His disciples not to tell anyone that He was the Christ. He says, "Lord, open up our eyes to see, and open up my ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." But I want you to understand one thing here. He says, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." Now, when I look at this, as we go through this purpose for why we exist as a church and why we do what we do, we have to understand that these are not four suggestions that were posted on some grand vision board encased in glass as things to make Calvary Gospel Church a better church. You see, these are biblical commands that are given to you and to me so that Jesus Christ can build His church right here in Madison, Wisconsin, and right here in Dane County, Wisconsin. You see, understand that through this, because He gives us the power and the authority, that we can break down the gates of hell that are working against the church. We can break down the gates of hell that are working against our lives, and we can destroy the very works of Satan. We have to understand that this, He's given us the commission, and then He turns right around and He gives us the power and the authority to do what He's asked us to do. I hope we can get a hold of this. And how do we do this? How does all of this happen? Well, as we enter into 2019, we are going to be entering into a whole new season. We talked about this back about a month or so ago. A whole new season. We're going to enter into a very powerful season that God is going to use us in ways that we never thought possible. All of these prophecies, all of these tongues interpretations that we have heard over the last years, everything is going to come to a point, to a fruition. I believe this so very, very strongly. And we have to prepare ourselves for this. So we have to be willing to evangelize. That is part of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. And I want to see something very powerful take place in our lives. If we turn to Luke chapter 4, we can look and we can see something that takes place here in Luke chapter 4. Jesus in his own synagogue, and He's getting ready to speak to a congregation there. And He begins by reading from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61. And Pastor Phil actually read this. I believe this was read in our Christmas Eve service. And I want you to notice the very first thing that Jesus reads, and He is doing so, and He connects His ministry to this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He begins by letting everyone know the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I think so many times that we as Christians, we don't look at it that way, that we can say the very same thing. Do we not have the Holy Ghost? Do we not have that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in our mortal bodies? Do we not have that? If we possess it, then we need to claim it and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I can stand up here with boldness and say, you know what? Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He's anointed me to preach the gospel. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here. But not only the gospel, to preach it to the poor. He sent me. I have authority and ability over the enemy, do we not? He sent us to be His ambassadors to help heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of blindness to the sight to the blind. And to set them that are bruised, set them at liberty. God, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed. This verse has come up many times in the past and with different preachers and speakers. And sometimes when you have a reoccurring verse like that, I think God is trying to tell us something. But we just seem to it goes over our head or whatever. But God has anointed us to preach. It's very simple. God has anointed us to preach, whether we're in Madison, Wisconsin, whether we're in Deerfield, whether we're in Marshall, whether we're in McFarland, it doesn't matter. God has anointed us to preach. He's anointed us to teach, and He's anointed us to disciple. That's what He's called us to do. I love it. I talked to Sister Manley, and I shared this with some of you. This was this morning during the offering time. But they're teaching a Bible study over there of some of our elderly ladies. And I just enjoy hearing reports of this and the people that they're teaching, the elder folks that they're preaching going on here with Sister Manley. You never know. Get fired up. But the folks that were in the Bible study weren't doing very well with the New Testament. They didn't like the New Testament, so they wanted them to just tell Old Testament stories. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to speak for Sister Manley, but being apostolic, I just can't help myself but to meddle in the New Testament. Okay? The Old Testament is important, and I don't want to take anything away from the Old Testament. There's a book going around written by a very, very well-known mega church guy, and he's talking about why the Old Testament is no longer valid in our world today, and we don't even need to preach from it. If that's the way he feels, it would be you could lie to him, and it wouldn't matter. It's irrelevant. You could kill him, and it wouldn't matter. It's irrelevant. You'd like to ask him, how strong do you believe that? But I'm just excited for where God is taking us. And we're going to do things a little bit different here tonight. We're going to have Brother Jerry Simmons come. And he's going to take and he's going to continue a little bit further into this message. And God bless you.
I'd like to turn your attention to Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'd like to have a show of hands today. Who in this room believes this message? I'd like to turn your attentions to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Who in this room has witnessed this power? Can I have a show of hands? Everyone, if you witness this power, I want to see the hands. Acts 2:37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Who in this room has received this promise? Can I get a show of hands? I have some more questions for you. What does it mean to be apostolic? What does it mean to be Pentecostal? What does it mean to be a Christian? These are man-made labels that we have adopted to simplify the description of what we are and why we do what we do. But if we are not careful, we can lose the meaning of these words and they can become common or cliche. I don't want to be a common apostolic or a common Pentecostal or a common Christian. Amen? Oftentimes in our lives, we have to revisit the powerful spiritual moments like the ones we've had today, when God filled us, when God spoke to us, and when God gave us a personal mission, personal plan, or a personal vision. We need to revisit our God moments to make sure that our current life lines up with the Rhema word of God that was spoken to us in those times. Do we truly fit the labels? Do we fit the vision? Are we living God's mission on our own personal level? It's a fight. It's a fight on multiple levels with multiple enemies, the flesh, the world, the devil. In this fight, there is no room for Pentecostal passivity. There is no use for apostolic apathy. There is no room for Christian compromise. Amen? It's time to wake up to our high calling in Christ. It's time to wake up and be who God has created us to be, who God has called us to be, the person and the individual who God has made us to be. Amen? Romans 8:37 says, "In all these things we are made more than conquerors through him that loved us." I wonder if you've ever thought, like I have, what is the purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost? Have you ever thought, why do we have to speak in tongues? And why do we have this supernatural spirit living inside of us? Why do we get this opportunity to have God living inside of us? But a better question is, what is your purpose now that you have the Holy Ghost? You've received the Holy Ghost for a few reasons. The Bible says that you've received the Holy Ghost for a sign that God is in you and that God believes in you. You've received the Holy Ghost for a sign that you are now a witness and God is trusting you to speak up about him. You received the Holy Ghost for a sign that you are sent into the world and that God put his power in you to overcome the world. You've received the sign of the Holy Ghost to let you know that you have received power. And God has put in you the power to overcome. You've received a sign that you are chosen by God and that God is using you to fulfill his master plan. You've received the gift of the Holy Ghost as a sign that others would know that you have been called out by God. There's a sign on you. There's a witness. People understand there's something different about you, about your life, about what God is doing with you. It's also a sign that you are now a child of God and that God will never leave you or forsake you. God has big plans for his children. He's always has. He always will. You are constantly and forever on his mind. James 4:17 says this, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Whenever those that were following Christ, the apostles and his disciples, when they were following Christ through the Gospels, and Jesus was teaching them everything that they should learn, and then telling them later to go and teach these things to other people, he told them one thing at the very end. He said, before you do anything that I've ever told you to do, you have to wait. I want you to wait for the promise of the Spirit to come to you. I want you to wait for the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want you to wait for the moment that you know that this is something supernatural and not just a physical teaching, not just a human experience, but this is a supernatural thing. I want you to go and I want you to wait for that to happen. I have one more question for you tonight. What are we waiting for? We've already received that gift. We already are full of the Spirit of God. We already have the Holy Ghost. I'm saying tonight that it's time for us to wake up to the high calling of Christ. Wake up to the things of God, that the things that God has spoken to us. Wake up to the purpose that God has created us. Wake up to the reason that we exist and the reason why God filled us with His Spirit. Each one of us are individuals. Each one of us have a unique makeup, a unique DNA. We have different mothers. We have different fathers. We all look different. But each one of us have something in common in this room. If we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, we are called out to preach the gospel to every creature. We're called out to teach and make disciples in every nation. Everywhere we go, we're called out to be something that shows Jesus in the world, to be the light of the world. Men have many types of sins. Sometimes we have sins that we commit, but other times we have sins that we omit. Sins of commission and sins of omission. I'm asking you this year, have there been some things in 2018 that have been omitted from the life that God has called you and the person as God has called you to be that in 2019 need to be added? They need to be rectified. They need to be restored. They need to be brought back to life. They need to be awakened in you. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that is in you. He also told him to do the work of an evangelist. I don't think that those words miss us in 2019. I think they hit us directly. We've been filled with the Spirit. I'd like you all to stand for just a moment. Anything that would stop you from coming down to the front in just a few moments, I want you to identify that with me right now. What would stop you? What would stop you from making a full commitment to Jesus Christ in 2019 to be everything that God called you to be, to do everything that God's ever called you to do, to revive the words that God has spoken to you in prayer, to revive the words that God has given to you in your Bible reading, to revive the words that God has given to you by tongues and interpretations, to revive the words that God has handed you through the preaching of the Word of God through your pastor or other ministers? What would it take? What would stop you from being fully committed to God in 2019? Let me tell you what could stop you. You could commit sins, or you could omit some things that God has asked you to do. That could stop you. If Satan can't kill you, he will definitely try to silence you. It's time to speak up. If he can't destroy you, he will try to distract you. It's time to wake up. If he cannot defeat you, he will simply try to deafen you. It's time to listen up to what God is saying to this church and to you personally. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. If you wouldn't mind, if you play a little music, look around you. Look around you. Look at everybody around you for just a moment. Take a good look. There's enough power in this room to turn the world upside down. There's enough talent. There's enough Holy Ghost. There's enough inspiration. There's enough teachers. There's enough preachers. There's enough evangelists. There's enough to do something extremely significant in 2019. I'm asking you tonight, do you want to be a part of something greater than yourself? Do you want to be a part of the plan that God has for this church and for yourself personally? I'm asking you to come down tonight and bring whatever it would be that would stop you from making that happen in your life. We all have our own things to deal with, our own flesh. We have fights, we have battles, but I'm asking you to bring those battles down here with you tonight. Whatever the things that would stop you from being everything that God has called you to be, spoken to you, prophesied to you, has led you to, I'm asking you to come down and bring that to the Lord tonight. We have many plans for 2019, but the biggest plan is this, is that every person be completely fulfilled in the calling that God has called them into. It's going to take more than just a couple of us up here in a pulpit. It's going to take an entire church to turn this world upside down. I'm asking you tonight, if God has called you to look into PI, that you would do that. If God has called you to step up in leadership, that you would do that. If God has called you and talked to you about reaching the lost, that you would do that. If God has talked to you about teaching Bible studies, that you would do that. If God has called you to get your life right, that you would do that. If God has called you to get with His plan and to leave your plan behind, that you would do that. Whatever it is that God has talked to you about, that's speaking to you about, that has moved you in times past and even in the present, do that thing tonight. Start the first step. Hallelujah.
To feel.